and boring to each and every one of you. Thank you, Joe, for our nice song service and nice little choruses, plus other songs as well, too. They have a tremendous message in them. I'll give you the reference and stuff later on, but I'm just going to give you this verse as I read it to you. This is our text. It's our message is based on this morning. And it's just a short one, but you can listen to the words of it. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. That's our text for this morning. And like I said, I'll give it to you later on so you can look it up. We'll be looking at it a little bit more. But that's our text to look at. So anybody know what these are? Okay. They happen to be in a couple different sizes and shapes, colors. Those are metal, and maybe Joe, he doesn't make these kind of things. He makes things that are like better. But these are made out of metal, but you can have them made out of some other things. And just happen to have some other things. Those are made out of stone, and so you put these things like up in the library. You can use them up in the library, so if you don't have to take up, you know, if you only got this much space and the shelf is this long, they don't fall over. They help hold the things together, and so you can use several ones at the same time. In other words, you can have these and some inside in between. But we're going to have some thoughts based on that verse that I just gave you. With regards to three words that start with the letter D. Three words that start with the letter D. And then also some thoughts, four things with regards to these things called bookends. Not actually those things, but things related to that idea. The three words, they start with the letter D. I'll give you them right now so that you'll know what they are. And from that verse that I gave, is there anybody that can figure out some of them or all of them? Disciples, why? Okay. Doctrine? Anything else? It's kind of subtle in there. It's not right there. It says, and then ask Jesus, so it would be demands. Demands. So it's there, but it's not there, kind of like. But those are the three words we're going to consider this morning as we continue on with our lesson. I say the lesson because I trust that you'll take and consider it a lesson to take and build on and to take and use it. It talked about, let's start with this last one, his doctrine, or my doctrine. Sometimes there's some websites that you can do on your own. In other words, you have a website, then you can design it for yourself, make it set up the way you'd like to have it, and it's called my whatever, my health thing, or my this, or my that. And so websites are set up kind of like with that in mind, that you can customize it to your idea and your liking. Well, this is not just to our liking, it's to his liking. It's my doctrine, or his doctrine, that we're looking at. And again, it's not our doctrine, it's his doctrine. With regards to the Old Testament, would you consider the Old Testament part of his doctrine? Definitely, okay? And that was all that the prophets had to say. What about the Old Testament with regards to the prophets? None of that came to pass? Okay, that's a good answer there. Everything that was supposed to was fulfilled. And so the Old Testament is a very helpful thing with regards to doctrine for the Lord Jesus Christ and his life. And then the Lord Jesus Christ also, when this was written, this might have been written, when do you think this verse was given? Well, this is his words. Or not his words, but then they asked him, but he was responding. When do you think that was taking place? Okay, yeah, right. When he's on earth, that's good. Okay. this would be towards the end. It says the high priest then asked, and I'll get into the timing of it a little bit, while he was on earth. But at the current time, it's later on. It's not at the very beginning of his life, okay? Distinguished from that. It's not at the very beginning of his ministry, but it's rather towards the end, and you'll see it kind of clearly after we get to that portion of Scripture. So he's looking at his current ministry and his current doctrine. So he's had the Old Testament and the prophets and all that was fulfilled. And so then he stated many things about his doctrine, but then what was also tremendous about it is that he lived it out as well, too. He lived out his doctrine so that it wasn't just something, well, it's a nice thing to say, nice thing to follow, but you're on your own kind of like. And so not only did he state what his doctrine was, but then he lived it out. Jim had given some examples last week about his doctrine. One that's a very important one is regards to Nicodemus. Okay, and again, what would that be? What's the message he gave to him specifically? You must be born again. That's excellent, very important. And then he was also talking about one of the parables about the talents. And let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5 for some verses here to start with. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're considering his doctrine. And so we've already had, as I said, reference to the Old Testament and all that that contains. Right at the very beginning of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," and so you can see for those who would have a red letter edition, much that follows after is almost all entirely in red. Let's go to chapter 7 and verse 28. Chapter 7 and verse 28. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he had taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." This was maybe earlier on in his ministry with regard to such his doctrine. They were amazed at his doctrine, astonished at his doctrine specifically. And so if you wanted to consider what his doctrine might be, where would you find it? Now right in between all those bookends right there, right? In between the bookends, is this Sermon on the Mount. I gave you the beginning when they started. He started to speak. And then at the end, at 7 and verse 28, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." And so everything in between Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 7 is his doctrine. And on that is the Sermon on the Mount, which we had looked at one of the times for the on the Beatitudes. That's just an example of some. It's just one section. And then, as I said, Jim had about the parable of the talent, which falls in between these two bookends of chapter 5 and then chapter 7. Then there's many other parables as well, too. And so he gave much on his doctrine as far as parables. And so, you know, if you wanted to look at what his doctrine was, you can take and read it and consider it and study it. So that would be one bookend. A second bookend, let's look at Matthew chapter 24 at this time. Matthew chapter 24 for a second bookend. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So where do you think the time would be for this part of it to take place? Is it near that other one? No, it's probably a lot later because it's in Matthew chapter 24, so it's getting towards the end of the book of Matthew. And so, as the disciples, as he talks to the disciples, he says in verse 3, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? So the first bookend that we had in Matthew was to who? Huh? The multitudes. Okay? And this one is to who? Just to the disciples. And so, again, we have a whole thing for the disciples at this time. And at the end of it, let's look at chapter 26. We have in the first part there, the beginning. And this gives you the end or the other side of the bookmark. Matthew 26 and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So it gives a little bit more time or references near towards the end here. And so to the one group, the multitudes, and to us as well too, he gave us tons and tons of doctrine that we can study and consider. But then, because the disciples wanting to know about the end times, he gave them this portion here. And so between those two bookends, he gave you tons and tons of things for them. But because Matthew recorded it, it's also for us. And so we benefit as well as the disciples did. So you can take and study both those areas. One concerns the Sermon on the Mount, and the other one with regards to end times. And then there's all the other teachings that he has done or preaching that Christ did. And we don't even probably have all that he recorded or that he stated or that he said. And we have just what the Holy Spirit decided to give us. But I'm sure there's much more there that could be considered. His doctrine and how important that doctrine is not only for his life, but then for those who were there at this time, but then also for those also afterwards. We also have the doctrine of the Ten Commandments, right? That would be considered his doctrine as well, too. But he took and put it in the form of what? From 10 to what? 10 to 2. So he made it the same, but he reduced it so it would be maybe, you know, here's it easier for you. Again, that would be also another area that could be considered as his doctrine. The two commandments, which encompasses all the other 10. And so he's combined the Old Testament with the New Testament thoughts as well, up to the point that he was still alive. So again, we have the Old Testament, that's past doctrine. We have his current life and his ministry, that's his current doctrine. But what about things in the future? It would be the things in the future. That, in other words, if this is happening just towards this is happening just before the cross, this his statement of his doctrine. So then, what about the rest of the New Testament? Is what I'm asking, I guess. Huh? It's also his doctrine as well, too. And I like the fact that when Tim talked about the fact of the Passover, he gave the Passover, for those who haven't remembered his message, ahead of time. He gave them what was going to happen to them before it actually happened. And he gave them what was their strength before time, what they should look at. He gave them things to take and pass on to the next generation for a memorial. And he gave them those things before they had actually happened, before they actually occurred. And this also is the same way. Christ is saying, here's my doctrine. but he also knew what his doctrine was going to be in the future. If the New Testament hadn't been written yet, it's still in the future. He knew that that was going to be part of his doctrine as well, too, right? His doctrine included all the New Testament. And he spoke through all the various writers. And so I think you need to realize that his doctrine included not only the Old Testament, not only his current ministry and doctrine and his teaching, but anything in the future that's contained in God's Word. So what does that look like? These other guys will hold it. But there's two bookends, and there's the whole Word of God, and that's his doctrine. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all his doctrine. It's not something, even though there's been many men that have put that together, it's amazing how much that's all coordinated together and worked together and fitted together. And is beautiful. And so that's his doctrine. And it's between two bookends. So he had a bookend of his ministry that we looked at like briefly on the Sermon on the Mount. We had his doctrine that we looked at quickly as to the ending point of the end times. But those two things are contained in that one. The Old Testament, all his contained in that. And everything that was going to be written in the future contained in his Bible, his doctrine. So that's the other bookmark thing I need you to realize was there. Let's take a look at, before we get to this, let's look at John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, again, Christ stated his doctrine. He stated some other things. He also stated his purpose in coming. And that purpose was thought to be something different. What did many of the people think his purpose was to be at this time when he was here on earth? Yeah, to what?
To beat the Romans.
Right, to beat the Romans, to set up his own kingdom, and to take and perhaps provide much healing. John chapter 10, again, his words that he wrote in verse 24. It says, Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And so one of the discourses before he got near the end of the cross there, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so here's what he's trying to plainly tell them, but even though he's trying to plainly tell them, they don't believe. There are some that do believe, but many do not believe his doctrine or what his purpose was, and it wasn't to come and set up a kingdom at this time. That was to be in the future. Because of what he had said in verse 31, it says, Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown unto you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And so, you know, actually, if I've done something wrong, it goes, okay. But there's not one thing that I've done that hasn't been worthy of being stoned at all. And yet that's what you want to try to do to me because of what I say. Because of my doctrine, because of what I'm stating, you can't accept it. You're not accepting it. In verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because of thou being a man, makest thyself God. This is what they were trying to solve. This is what they thought he was trying to do, or that's what they thought he was trying to do. But Jesus again answers them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and that the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that my Father is in me, and I am and in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped. And so as he was trying to explain his life and his doctrine and what it meant, they were having a hard time understanding and believing what he had to say, and even as you find here, they wanted to stone him. But because of what his doctrine was, because of his life, because of his character, he was trying to show them that he was not just a man, but that he was beyond that. He was actually the Son of God, and for that they couldn't accept that, that he was the Son of God. Matthew chapter 20 for a verse there. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Again, he's speaking. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Again, the purpose for him coming was to die on the cross for their sins. They couldn't accept the fact that he was there, you know, I'm going to die. We're looking for a leader. We don't want somebody that's going to be dead. And how can you do that? But he said, I didn't come to be that kind of a person. I didn't come to minister for your help. I came to take and give my life for you. That's why I came. And they were having a hard time accepting, again, his thoughts, his words, his doctrine, his teachings, and his preaching. Also, let's turn to John. This is another thing that we've talked about many times, that his function was, besides to come and take him to die. John chapter 17 and verse 3. John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then go to verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. And thine they were, and that thou gavest them to me, and that they have kept thy word. And so the idea was coming to die. The idea also was to show the works of his Father, to manifest his Father before them, so they could see the Father, what he was like, and also that he's the same like that. He could be, his doctrine matched up with what he was saying. And so, again, there's the two functions. He came to die for us, and then he also came to take and show the Father to the people, and that indeed he could make that claim in his doctrine that he was the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. So his doctrine includes all these various things that we mentioned and that are found in God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. Some things a little bit clearer than others, but something that's very important to consider. Matthew chapter 4, we'll go there. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, we read about the starting of the Sermon on the Mount, and that was one of the bookends for his doctrine. In chapter 4, it talks about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Satan himself and the three trials that he has there. Then he decides, not that he decides, but then he decides, then he does choose several people to be his disciples after that point. Verse 23, we'll begin at chapter 4 and then verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with demons, and those who were epileptics, and those who had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And because of all that, that's why the multitudes are there. He takes this opportunity to take them and speak to them after that. But this is the beginning of his ministry. As I tried to put the time frame in, it was after Satan tempts him, but then he chooses a few of the disciples, and then he begins doing these things. As I said, try to say that his doctrine, his life, he came to take and die on the cross. He came to take and show off the Father to the people. His function was not, what I'm trying to say, his function was not to just to come and heal people. His function was not to come and just to be the ruler of the people. But yet he did those things as well too. And so, when we go back to that verse that I read, it says, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. They asked Jesus, they had a demand, the religious leaders had a demand of them, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have this idea of demand and having those who would ask on the religious side. But then there's also those that have a demand on the people side. And so while he came to take and do a certain purpose, as I stated, he also came to take and heal them as well, too. They had a demand on them, and he took and fulfilled those different things. I also took and let's hold your finger right there, and let's look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, I gave this the other week, the other day, I was thinking about this thought. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And so this is at the time of Acts, this is after Christ has gone back. Christ isn't on the earth at this point. He says, he goes on, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And again, the idea of his doctrine, it's all documented there, and that's what Peter is referring to here. And also, in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all those things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to only witnesses chosen by God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And so this is the other side of the bookmark. You've had the other one here. It started in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. So that's the one side of the bookmark. It continued all through his time. And they are witnesses of, they recorded all that was done. And so, he's got not only his doctrine, and not only what his life was like, but he also has people that he can actually say, "This I did this for you, and I did that for you." And he says, Peter goes on to say, we are all witnesses of all these things which he did in verse 39. And he, you know, they were very happy for what he had done. You know, but, you know, what happened? What happened? We have the demand of the religious people. We have the demand of the people themselves. And yet, something happened to them. And again, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he came to do, and his own people took him, you know, sent him on the cross to die for everybody, including them. And so, this book ends of the couple that we have, of his doctrine, and then also of his demands by the people, by the religious leaders, and then the third thing would be his disciples. And again, that's all found in scriptures from the beginning to the end there. Let's go to this portion of John. This is where I got the verse from. John chapter 18. And John chapter 18 and verse 19. So we have his doctrine as one of the D's. We have the demand by the people, and that would include the religious leaders as well as all the other people with their thoughts and everything. And by the way, it says that he healed all or many. Do we still have all that healing completed today? So that, you know, it ended after he was here, right? No, it still continues on. All those things still continues on. All those same diseases and sicknesses continue on. And so again, the idea is he didn't come, again, to reinforce that part of the thing to do, to heal things, to heal people. Again, his main purpose was to take and do that, but then really to take and die on the cross, and also to display the Father to the people. So again, the idea that his ministry did not, even though it included that, wasn't that specific purpose to be given. John chapter 18 and verse 19, so you can take and kind of look at this and think about this. You know, I've been thinking about this for a few weeks. It says in verse 19, as I read, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And so you can see that it was towards the end of the trial kind of a deal. Was getting the high priest, this is before he was getting crucified. What had happened before that with regards to Peter?
Well,
Yeah, right. Just before that, it was just after that that it happened, but then Peter was with them and John. And then the fact that the fact that he denied him was after this time. So it's right in that same time frame there. So again, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered two of them. Now, he didn't answer everything all the times we know, but he did answer this, and consider what he has to say. I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. So with regards to his doctrine, what is he saying? It's true. It's been there for a long time. You have the Old Testament, as I said, and even if they didn't consider the Old Testament, you have his current life. At this point, his life is pretty well done. He's just about ready to head to the cross, and so his 3 years of ministry, if that's how long he had here, is just about finished. So his ministry has been there. And he said, I spoke openly. I ever taught in the synagogue. You heard me. You had a chance to hear me. Remember, even as he was of a young age, but what happened at a young age when they couldn't find him? Yeah, he was in the temple doing the Father's work. He was trying to speak to them even at that point. And throughout his life, he was a testimony to the Father always. Again, it's important to see, in secret have I said nothing. And so again, with all the other things that might be great ideas that are out there, like our Constitution, our Communist Manifesto, or anybody else's great ideas or ideas, Hitler's, whatever he based his stuff on, or any of the other people, it doesn't hold a candle to what God's Word is. And again, you need to understand his doctrine. It's not our doctrine, it's his doctrine. And it's in that whole Bible from cover to cover. And then he goes on to say, on top of that, in verse 21, now why do you ask me? Ask them who heard me. When I said, and what I have said unto them, behold, they know what I say. And so again, the last part of this, his doctrine and his demand is his disciples. It says in verse 20 and 19. They ask about his disciples and his doctrine. And so, you know, go ahead and ask the disciples. Except they would have a little bit of a problem with that. Why would they have a problem with asking his disciples? All right, at this point they're gone. Except for John and Peter. And then Peter takes and denies them after this point. So again, it's a little bit of a problem, but it's not a problem. Because while he was on earth here with his disciples, he was constantly teaching them. They were learning still up to this point and beyond. And so as a disciple, they were still in the process of learning his doctrine and his teachings. But you could ask them, and I'm sure they could take and explain some things at this point. Again, we realize when Peter gave that part in Acts chapter 10, he understood it well beyond this part. He understood what the Lord meant to him, and that's why he could take and preach the messages that he had, that he could give the books that he wrote, that the other authors could do their books, because Christ had changed their life and transformed them. So even though they could have asked him at this time, and they weren't right there, they were there after he went back into heaven, and they could have asked him then. Mike gave us this verse in 1 Corinthians. Just turn to 1 Corinthians 15 here for one verse here. First Corinthians 15 and verse 6. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present time, but some are falling asleep. And so what he was saying was, there's still people that you can ask. Go back and ask them. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his high priesthood, you can go ahead and ask. They're there. They should know. He was telling you the same thing with regards to the resurrection. There are people that are still alive right now that you can go back and get that information that they can prove to yourself. But again, people may have rejected that idea as well, too. And so the Lord has always been, in a sense, way in advance with the Old Testament, presenting the New Testament with his doctrine. But again, if we search the Scriptures, and we can find a great deal that's there. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. Well, let's do 2 Peter first, and then we'll get to Timothy. 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, this is probably a verse, some verses that you know as well. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Says, he states, Peter does, we have a more sure word of prophecy, unto which you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretations. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so how we got the whole Scripture, how we got that whole Bible, has been all inspired. And so Peter attested to that. Maybe he took and didn't get it right at the beginning, but he got it right, as I said, along with many others as well, too. Turn to Timothy. And this time, 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And again, some well-known verses. So again, from Paul to others, he gives to Timothy, he gives this, which is a great portion, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. That's what we've been talking about, his doctrine. For reproof, for correction in righteousness, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And again, Paul to Timothy. It says in chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to what? To doctrine. Again, that would be all of Scripture, his thoughts. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Doctrine, do the reading, do the meditation. There's other ideas about meditation that's all wrong out there that's out there. Meditation can help for you, but if you're studying God's Word and meditating on that. And so, again, Christ's doctrine includes all the New Testament as well, too. I mentioned the fact that there was the three D's. There was his doctrine. There was the demands of the people. There were his disciples. But then his disciples became what? What did they become after the in Acts? Apostles. And so again, the idea of an apostle is just a quick thing. It's one that is sent forth with a message. And it's a special message that's, because it's chosen by one with special commission as one that's fully authorized, as a fully authorized representative of the sender. And so the Lord Jesus Christ took the disciples, trained them, sent them forth to take and deliver his message. And so they were talking about all that they had seen and got straight. And so there was like those aspects of what an apostle is. We've been talking about the idea of passing things along, passing things down. And I'll just close with this. I got these thoughts from the Bible Dictionary, by the way. Excellent little thing on the apostle. But he ends up with this. They spoke, wrote, and acted with a consciousness that were specially commissioned to represent the Lord. Their office was not and could not be passed on to others. It was unique. But what they did is commissioned other people to become disciples, to follow after him. They could not become an apostle, but they could be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ based on his word in their life. And that's what they moved on and did as their special commission to do. And so again, we've been very fortunate to have the word of God in our country. And I trust you might value it today, especially greatly, as you consider his doctrine this morning. Heavenly Father, we just will give you thanks for your word. And again, all that you are willing to reveal to us is a great deal. And again, to reveal your love and your work is tremendous. Again, we thank you for the message of salvation. And we pray for any that do not know you as a Savior, that you might speak to their hearts, young or old today, here and elsewhere. Pray that you help each one of us consider your word and have it become part of our life so that it changes our life. We ask this in your name. Amen.